You know, I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for the leading of the Lord. I'm so thankful for the teaching that we have got that has brought us there. You know, and no man is perfect. No man is without ability to fail. And so we should never look to a man, but we should always, or a woman, you know, but we should trust God that he would lead us to the places we need to be, and that in those places he's going to do things in us. You know, one of the things that I've seen over the years is I've been intimately, I'll say, and that's not the same way we normally talk about intimacy, but intimately acquainted with those who are over me in the faith. And it's been a great blessing to be so. Whenever you're close to somebody, you get to see the areas where they do great. You also get to see the areas where they fail. How many are glad that our faith is not in God, or not in man, but in God? Amen. But that's not to say that we dwell on the failures or whatever, but we dwell on where the Spirit of the Lord would have us. And, you know, God will bring us into things that will help us. I know God has been really working in me. And in the last two trips specifically that I have been on, both have been to sit under Reverend Greer, the Spirit has dealt with me very specifically about things. And some of the things are hard. Some of the things that I've been going through are very difficult. But like I was saying at the beginning of the service, sometimes there's a breaking down before there can be a building up. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, I know when any remodel job, I've done a lot of different kinds of remodel jobs, but you know, the worst kind of remodel jobs are when people go into a space and they say, I'm just going to cover over this. Praise the Lord with something new. And it looks good for a while. How many know that? You know, when we started this church, when we got into this building here, this church building, when we got into this, I was very budget-minded because I was the one who not only had to contract all the work out, but I also had to come up with the budget. I had to guess how much money we were going to need, and then I had to keep things within a budget, and I had to try to pay people what we could and trust God for the rest, amen? But there was a lot of times where I was looking at things that were in here, and I thought, you know, like, for instance, most of this wall was already here. Glory to God. We just changed. There was a doorway down there, and we put the door down here, and we covered up the door down here, and we expanded things that way, you know? But typically speaking, it's best, and I learned this through that process, when you can start over. And I'll give you an example of that. We have a nice buffet out there with many outlets in the walls. Anyone seen the buffet? Anybody thankful for buffets? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And don't all look sad today. Glory to God. God is with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we have that buffet, and that wall was also there. It was one of the few walls that remained in this building. And that wall was there, and it had electric in it, praise the Lord. And I was like, well, this is great. It's already got the electric there. But you know, how many know that crock pots and things like that use a lot of power? They have a lot of draw on them. And so what happens is even though now we have this great place for a buffet, we have the same electric that I didn't, and I had a check when I was doing it, not really a check, but just a thing in me that said, you know what? You probably should wire all this new. And I didn't. And now what happens? Well, we have to add a table on the other side and put some of the crock pots over there because it gets overloaded. The circuits get overloaded. And see, these are life lessons in learning to follow the Spirit. Glory to God. But I'm glad that God is forgiving. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad that you're forgiving, that you're not mad that if all the crock pots are, you know, or if your soup's cold, you won't stone me or anything like that. But we follow a God that is good and leads us. We do not just have a religion. Praise the Lord. We do not just come to a church. Amen. I was thinking, I was meditating on this, and it never dawned on me really this way until I was getting prepared for this service. And as I was getting prepared for this service, you know, I was like, praise God. I was like, I saw something that I've experienced, but I never really thought about much, and I never thought to share it with you. But every time I prepare a message, and you see the kind of the outflow or the overflow of that. When I've prepared a message, I come to you and I'll talk to you about how excited I am about the message, and I don't even know if I can get through it, and I got abundance of scripture, and all these things are in my heart. Do you know that I prepare every sermon, at least I endeavor to prepare every sermon, as if everything that I'm going to say or every scripture I'm going to go to is so important to your life that you will, like, literally, if you hear this message and nothing else, that you would be able to finish your course. Yes. That's literally how I approach the Word. You know, and so it's so easy to come to church and to sit there in the seats. And I know because I've sat there in the seats many times. Actually, I sat there in the seats week, all week long. And I know what it's like to be distracted by what's going on in your life, and to be distracted by the things that are happening. And you know, the world's doing this, and COVID's doing this, and the Republicans are doing this, and the Democrats are doing this, and the president's doing this, and my neighbors are doing that. You know, glory to God. We can get distracted by everything. And we're like, oh, how many lights are on the ceiling? I gotta see. Let's count. Oh, don't you know that light's different? I'm not gonna tell you which one, but one of them is, praise the Lord. But that light's different, praise the Lord. And so everybody's gonna look. Or the baby yelps, and then everybody's head goes whoop to where the baby is, or somebody over here makes a noise or squeaks their seed or something, and everybody is distracted by that. And the entire time, you're missing what is. And I've preached at times, glory to God, this is not noteworthy, praise the Lord, but I have preached at times where I've seen people's heads turn to the distraction, and I've been like, no, turn back, because you don't want to miss the spot. But I know that you can't. And I know the truth that all preachers should know and all Christians should know is that the first time you hear it, you're not going to get it. And the second time you hear it, you're probably not going to get it. And the third time you hear it, you might not get it. But by God, if you keep coming back, if you keep listening, if you keep trying, if you're like, no, I'm going to. And see, it's the same way with God. When we follow God, when we're like, you know, we're not going to get it every time. You're not going to know the leading of the Lord. If you've just walked in to church off the street and you don't even know what it means to be led by God, but you just walked in off the street and you don't even know that, you're not going to get it instantly. And folks, if you've been sitting in these seats for 5, 10 years, you're not going to, no one sat here for 10 years, but 7 years, glory to God, if you've been here for 7 years, you're not going to get it instantly. But if you have a heart to be open to the things of God, if you have a heart to be directed by the Lord, He will use vessels like me, even like me, even despite me, yeah. Praise the Lord, yeah. He will use these kinds of vessels to help you in your walk. And if you decide that in your heart that you want to be particularly attentive to the leading of God, that He will even get you to a place where you'll start hearing God without a preacher. You see, the coming together of the Word is first so we can hear about God and so we can understand who God is. And God does anoint men and women to stand in the place to help people get to know Him. Because you can't just know Him just by the way you know the world. Now, the Bible says we can understand or we can see things about God by looking at the world, but you can't understand God if you only approach Him through the way the world approaches. Amen? Praise the Lord. And one of the most important things is you cannot be led without knowing God's character. If you don't know God, or if your interpretation or your understanding of God is warped, you will never be led by His Spirit, because that voice will always be louder in you. We have to learn to yield ourselves to Him. And I haven't even told you today's message is called Led into Truth. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I remember back in the, and I don't remember it happening, but back in the, was it the 70s? There was a minister out in the California area by the name of Jim Jones. And he started preaching. And, you know, sometimes when I'm interested in history, and so sometimes as I looked back into history and looked at things in history, I get interested and I want to watch more and more of it. And so I watched some documentaries about this man, and most of you know who I'm talking about. And as he ministered, I thought, dear Jesus, that sounds an awful lot like our churches can sound. The way he preached the word and the way he talked and the way he exhorted, it sounded really good. Yeah. In respect, I'm talking about some of his early stuff. But how many know that at some point, and a lot of people fell in love with him, so much so that I think it was the mayor of the city even went to him and said, hey, how are you bringing people together? And he actually even started being used in that way to help the area. Like, you know, we always hear the horror stories of what ended up happening down in Guyana, but we understand that before all that, that people, the town's officials were receiving him and saying, by God, we need this. We need what he's got. He was charismatic. And, you know, so we can see that, and sometimes we can be distracted by those things. And there are truths, you know, in ministry, there are truths about honor. Listen, that's what this book is about that we have people reading, that some people wanted to read. It's about how to honor and honor right, and we understand that. Thinking about this, as I was getting ready to preach this message, which is not going in the direction that I thought it was going to, but praise the Lord for the Holy Ghost. As I was thinking about this, Praise the Lord. I was thinking how God uses a father and a mother, a good father and mother. Now, my wife and I think we're pretty good parents. I think our kids would attest to that. At least they lie to us and tell us that all the time. And so for that, at any rate, that helps us. But you know, the proof of the pudding, as Pastor Michael would say, is always in the eating. And so if you have pretty decent kids, you know that it can point to that. Praise the Lord. And so. But we know that God has helped us, praise the Lord, and with all those things. But how many know that we haven't done things perfectly? You know, and none of us do. And some of those things, as we do those things, listen, this is not just I'm answering a thought that was in someone's mind right now. Praise the Lord. This isn't a propaganda message. This isn't trying to get you to believe something. We're talking about being led into truth. Glory to God. And I think if you'll listen with an open mind, we'll get there. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, how many know that when the kids grow up, they don't always do things the same way the parents do? And that's not always dishonorable. That's not always anti the parents. Amen. But there is a way that they do it. And there's a way but it's very much same thing in the church. If we come together in the church, we understand that the one who's in the pulpit, me today, is not perfect, praise the Lord. But as God uses me, he can lead us into perfection in those areas. Yes. All of us, me too. He'll even get me there. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the number one thing that we have to understand about God is God has given us his word to show us his character. His word is truth. And we're going to get into this, amen? But he will only lead us in line with truth. Yes. Praise God. Things that are true are truth, but anything that is not truth is not truth. And so the Lord is never going to lead in something that's not truth. And this is going to make more sense in a minute, I think. He leads in truth. Turn with me to John 16:13. Actually, I was going to pull it up because we got a bunch of scripture, but you can turn there because I don't want you to think that I'm, if you got your Bibles, and if you don't, shame on you, bring your Bible next time. John 16:13, you notice I'm not looking at you, see who did or didn't, glory to God, but it is important that you get acquainted with this. Why? Because if you don't get acquainted with this, you won't be acquainted with God. Do you know how cults form? I was talking about Jim Jones. Jim Jones ended up getting a lot of people to follow him to a different country, to leave everything, to pour everything into that ministry. And as we know, as a result, that a lot of people died, not by their will necessarily, but a lot of people died. You know how cults happen? Because people don't stick to this. When someone comes and says, oh, I have a new interpretation of this, or everybody else in the past 2,000 years was wrong, what I know is right. Now you got to start. When anybody starts preaching that I have the only answer that you need, glory to God, you say, well, isn't that what you're preaching? No, I'm preaching the same thing Jesus preached. Amen. The same thing. How do we know it was the same thing? How do we know this word has lasted? You know how we know this word has lasted? Because they dig up things like the Dead Sea Scrolls that are thousands of years old. Some of them predate Christ. And they say the exact same thing this still says. So anyone who wants to say that this word is corrupted is full of garbage. They don't even know. They have no idea what they're talking about. They've done not even the smallest study. Do you know one of the things that I can't stand about the faith camp? You ready for this? I'm gonna throw it right out there right now. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know the number one things I can't stand about it is people have this idea in the faith camp that faith means you throw all natural knowledge to the side and you just go do whatever you want to do. You know what that's called? That's called stupid. That's what that is. Whenever you throw all things to the side because you have faith for something, that's called stupidity. That's what it is. And that's fine. You can be stupid, but the whole point, you can be. That's your right. You're American, by God. One thing America affords us is the right to be an idiot. And I'm sorry if you're hearing a bunch of words that you shouldn't hear, kids, but listen, until you're a pastor, you can't say them. But once you're a pastor, yeah. Do as I say, don't as I do. Don't do as I don't. Don't say. You know what I'm saying. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a joke. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we don't throw common sense to the side and say, oh, it's faith. It's not faith. You know what that is? That's the way people cover up doing things that they don't want to do. Amen. It's just like people who are bad with finances. They say, well, I'm going to use faith for it. No, you can't use faith. If you're bad with finances, God ain't ever blessing them. I said, God ain't ever blessed. He'll bless finances, but you got to be smart with them. You got to be a good steward first. You know, people say, well, I'm believing God that my marriage is good, but you treat your spouse like a jerk. Well, guess what? Your marriage ain't going to ever be good. You can pray, and use all the faith you want to use. But until you start being a good spouse, hallelujah, praise the Lord. How many times did I apologize to you on the way home? A lot. Praise the Lord. We're driving a little bit, and I do, and then we're driving a little bit more, and I'm like, I'm sorry. And then I remember at one point I said, I'm thankful you love me, but hate me. Praise the Lord. I think we were somewhere in West Virginia when I said that. Yeah, praise the Lord. I remember there's waterfalls and pretty trees and all that stuff. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. No, that's good. Remember when he, the Spirit of Truth, everybody say the Spirit of Truth. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. What's he called? Spirit of Truth. Guess what? If he's the Spirit of Truth, and the Word is the truth, we can say this, and you told me this the other day, you could also say he's the Spirit of the Word, can't you? Yes. Right? Yes. We're going to see that at least here today in the Word, that the Word is truth. He's the Spirit of Truth, and so he's the Spirit of the Word. What does that mean? It means this Spirit is only going to lead in line with that Word. If you don't know that Word, guess what? You ain't going to know how to be led. You know why? You know how I know this? Because I have people come to me all the time and say, I've been led on this, led on that. Like, see, the Word says something completely different. You ain't led in nothing. You're hearing spirits, but they ain't God. Praise the Lord. Do you know the Bible says to test the spirits? How do you test the spirits? How do you suppose that we are to test the spirits? With the only thing we have to test them with. You can't test them with your emotion. You can't test them with your ideas. You've got to test them with the truth. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So he's the Spirit of Truth, and he's going to guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Do you think that Jesus had his own thoughts? Well, he did. He didn't follow all his own thoughts. We know he had his own thoughts, because the Bible tells us he did this and did that. Jesus had his own thoughts. The Spirit is his own person. The Spirit is a person. He's not a force. He's not a breath. He is a person, another being in the Godhead. Amen. He has his own thoughts, but that's why this tells us. He's not going to speak on his own authority. He's not going to teach. He's not going to speak what he knows, because he knows. He's going to speak whatever he hears, because whatever he hears comes from the Father, and he will tell you things to come. Right. Praise the Lord. Propaganda is not truth. Do you know one of the things that people do in this world, and I'm dealing with a lot of things. I'm dealing with spiritual things, but I'm also dealing with lots of things you're going to encounter in the world. You know, the Bible really directs us not to spend too much time focusing on politics and stuff like that. But when things cross over, sometimes I do have to touch on them, and so I do. But things in the world, you know, when Hitler wanted to convince everybody that these Jews were just dogs, how did he do it? It was called propaganda. He had really nice posters that he put up, and he spoke, and he got control of the news agencies. Jeez, have we not learned anything? And they say this, and they say that, and they get even good-hearted people starting to convince them of things, and they say, well, this is why this happened, and this is why this happened, and they're going to blame you and point to you. See, this, I'm just going to tell you the truth, and this is the reason I'm going here, because the same thing happens in the church. The same thing. Everybody wants to point fingers instead of pointing to God. Yeah. See, everybody looks at someone else's failure, but failed to look at their own. Right. We need to look to the Lord. We need to look to the Word. We need to look to the truth if we are going to be led in truth. But when we start receiving accusations, when we start receiving propaganda, when we start receiving things that aren't true. You know, something in the past couple of years, Christians have been so distracted by what the liberals and the Democrats are doing that they failed to see what God was trying to do. And the whole time, they're looking at people who are doing evil things. Well, listen, when you kill babies en masse, that's evil. Praise the Lord. When you accept marriages that are not godly, that's evil. When you start coming against and railing the church and trying to not just make people safe, but to try to close down churches, that's evil. When you put policies in place, those things are evil. But what have those things done? They've distracted God's people. Look at them, and they're pointing at them. And you get people online, you get people on Facebook and things like that, that they're looking and they're yelling about the government. They're yelling about this and they're yelling about that. But God says, don't pay any mind to that. Right. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Put your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above. We have these scriptures. Jesus said, don't worry about all this stuff. Do you know what happened when one of his disciples came to Jesus and said, what about taxes? He said, give Caesar what's Caesar's, give God what's God's. I don't care what, just don't focus on it. Just get over yourself and get over it. Just focus on the word of God. Focus on what I've called you for. Do you know the devil distracted Jesus in really interesting ways? He tried to distract him. When he tried to tempt him, you know, when he was led into the wilderness, not by the devil, but by the Holy Spirit, he went into the wilderness. And when he was in the wilderness, what happened to Jesus? He dealt with him about food and provision. He dealt with him about power. He dealt with him about, you know, being king and stuff like this. All these things, he wanted to puff up the man. And Jesus rejected all of it. Jesus still ended up washing the feet of the disciples as the Son of God. I said he washed the feet of the disciples. He lowered himself to a place. Glory to God. Propaganda is not truth. Things that people say, things that just sound good, things that, and this is why when we are so distracted and so consumed with everything that's around us, we're distracted by things that aren't God. You know, I've been, one of the things that the Lord dealt with me a lot this week and something he's been dealing with me a lot on, but this week was like kind of the coming together of it all, was God has been dealing with me about seeking him more. About being, about asking him more, about getting my answer there more, and to look to him more, and to know him more. Yes. Glory to God. You know what he has not been telling me to do? Turn on the news. Right. He's not been telling me to ask 50 people what their opinion is. But as I find, as I see, now that doesn't mean that we can't find counsel. We can find counsel with people. But do you know that we can make counsel, people's counsel? Did you know that you could make my counsel your God? And people do it all the time. Does that mean that you should never seek a pastoral counsel? That would be dumb. The Bible tells us to. Amen? Yeah. But we can't base everything in our life around what a man or woman of God says. Yeah. And when we do so, we are apt to do just like they did down. Though, listen, most of the people that died in Jonestown were good-hearted people. I believe that they're probably in heaven. Why? Because they did love the Lord. They were just caught up into something. They were caught up in deception. I believe that if somebody just didn't know Jesus, you know, the Bible tells us the only way to heaven is through Jesus, to know Jesus, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But we have to understand, and this is the message, God gave me a few points that I need to focus on. Praise the Lord. The first one was he leads in truth. The second one is no lie is of the truth. I said no lie is of the truth. Turn with me to John 8:44. We're probably going to spend some time in John. I think most of my scriptures are either in John or 1 John. But either way, it's John, so it doesn't matter if it's first or second. Amen. Or pre-John, pre-first. Praise the Lord. John 8:44, glory to God. Praise God, hallelujah. This is really a kickoff to what I believe our Tuesday nights are going to entail. Now, I'm open to the Lord and following his direction, and as much as I'm able, I'm going to follow his direction. Glory to God. But I believe that Tuesday nights are, at least to begin with, we're going to do some focusing on being led by the Spirit and how that works and what that means. Amen. It's not... You know, listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, everything you feel inside is not the leading of the Spirit. Every voice you hear is not the leading of the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. Every feeling you feel inside is not the leading of the Spirit, and every voice you hear is not. Praise God. But there is a way to know, and there's a way to balance it out. And the first and foremost, of course, is by getting in and knowing his word. You know why? Because as you read God's word, when you read God's word, what happens is it changes you. You know, I've been finding that there's some things that have been happening in and around me recently, things that I've wanted to like lash out against, things that I've just wanted to just come at with just, you know, but the Lord keeps leading me on the same thing, and that's not him. Do you know that God is never divisive? In fact, he hates divisiveness. If we therefore enter into divisiveness, if we start partaking of divisiveness, guess what happens? We open the door for the devil to come into our lives and ruin it and wreak havoc. I said, we open the door to the devil. Amen? Now, opening the door to the devil is not simply having a thought or doing something wrong or just one thing wrong. But opening the door to the devil is when you've opened the door wide by doing exactly the opposite of what God has called you to do. Right. Amen? John 8:44, praise the Lord. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Oh, my gosh. What is Jesus saying to us? Well, he wasn't saying it to us. Praise the Lord, aren't you glad? He was saying it to the Pharisees. You know who the Pharisees were? The Pharisees were religious people who had their religious ideas about God, but it didn't conform to the word. That's exactly what it was. In fact, every time Jesus dealt with the Pharisees, he dealt with them using the word. Praise the Lord. He came to them with the word and said, this is what the word actually says. Praise God. Well, we can get an interpretation and stuff like that, but there's not enough time in 10 sermons to just get into all that. But praise the Lord, but there is a way to know. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, I want to stop there for a second because I want to point something out to you about the scriptures. I find it real interesting. It says, when he speaks to you a lie, he speaks from his own resources. Yeah. You know, the Bible tells us that whatsoever, you know, whatever is in a man that he speaks, yeah, or in the heart of man, you know, from the heart, you know, the issues of life, you know, come from the heart. There's lots of scriptures, which I just hacked up completely. But you understand the idea that whatever's in our hearts, that's the thing that comes out of us. That's our resources. What's in the heart of the devil is only lies. Yeah. But this is the reason that I bring this up. If we allow our lives to be filled with lies, if we allow our faith to be filled with lies, guess what's coming out? Lies. You can't draw out what's not there. Conversely, you're only going to draw out what is there. And so, listen, I'm not saying, I hope you guys, that everything I preach does not mean, if I preach something is wrong, it doesn't mean that everything I preach is going to be the end of you. So you sit in a service and you get your toes stepped on and you think, oh my God, here's another place where I don't measure up and I'm going to fail. It's all going to go to hell because of this. No, we can't think that way. But we have to understand that when you start adding all these things up, these make a life that the devil can steal from. Now, inevitably, the devil probably will get in somewhere, at least sometime, with all of us. Our job is to eliminate those pathways, are they not? And when we have a heart that is desires to be corrected, a heart that desires to be directed by God truly, despite our feelings, despite what we think, despite what anyone else says, glory to God, what God says, when we have a heart to do that, then God can correct us and he can help us and lead us. But if we don't, we close that and we open that door to the devil. The thing inside of you that rejects the truth, because maybe this is the way I always thought about it. Do you know something? I never approach this word as somebody who says, I know this word so good that I can't be taught today. And you sitting in church today shouldn't do that either. Praise the Lord. Do you know why I know I can minister in front of any person if I'm called to? Because God's anointed me to do so. Because the Holy Spirit will guide me and the word is good. And anybody, it doesn't matter how great or how small, could sit in here. And if they're open to hearing the word, they can be taught. That's right. But you know what? I also know that I have to be taught. Yes. Well, praise the Lord. So our resources, we want our resources, right? But because I tell you the truth, or I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Wow. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. That should be sobering. Have you heard God's word preached and rejected it because it didn't align with your agenda? Has somebody given you God's word and you don't like it because it's different than what you always thought or what you perceive of God? Listen, when it's the word of God, it better be able to change you. And if it doesn't, you're aligning with the liar. I'm not talking about that the person is a liar. I'm saying that, listen, could I say something in this pulpit that is not God? Let me tell you.
You're human.
I'm human. I probably have. Praise the Lord. In fact, I know that I have. But that doesn't mean that I'm completely untrustworthy. And you know what I mean? You have to balance these things out. I mean, if you go by that, you know, but some people are like, you always love those people that say, you know, I can't go to church because of the hypocrites. I'm like, yeah, have you looked at the world lately? like find me not, find me, like, you know, seriously, like, do you not go to Walmart because of the hypocrites or the liars or the thieves? Or the ones who are there for themselves or anything. I mean, really, like, why would what anyone else do be a basis for you not doing what you should do? Why would anything that someone else do be the basis for doing? Like, why would you judge what, you know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, if there is a God, let's just ask ourselves this. If there is a God, then we owe it to ourselves to find out as much about him as we can. But that can't happen without openness to who he is. Amen. And again, I'm not preaching about this word specifically, teaching Christianity, because Christianity is true. We know it is. And we have, how do you know, Pastor Jeff? Well, I don't know. I've given my whole life basically to do this. And so that's how I know. You got to come to a few more services before you hear all that. Amen. He who is who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Listen, folks, if it is a little untrue, it is completely untrue. We have this thing in our camp, I like to call, I didn't coin this term, but Christianese. We say this because it sounds good and Christian. But I'm going to tell you something about Christianese. A lot of Christianese is not truth. What does that make it? It makes it a lie. Listen, if it's not truth, it's a lie. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter if a Christian says it in a real religious way. It doesn't matter if a bunch of Christians say it in a real religious way. It does not matter if your pastor in a real religious way. If it's not truth, it's not truth. Praise the Lord. And that's the truth. It is not truth even when the people of faith that you trust and you have all of your eggs in their basket look at you and say it, it does not make it truth. The only thing that makes what I say truth is whether or not it's written in the Word of God. If Jesus or the disciples did not do it, it is not God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He told us how to live. How do we keep from being deceived? We stick with the truth. How do we keep from being deceived? We stick with the truth. How do we keep from being deceived? We stay with the truth. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not always easy to stay with the truth. Sometimes you're going to be tempted to want to be deceived. We shouldn't fear these things. We don't have to be in fear about it. But we do need to embrace this and say, this is the standard on which I stand. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I cannot be a pastor, only the truth, or changes or does things by the truth, I will not be a preacher. Because I have spent too much of my life embracing lies. I have spent too much of my life trying to put trust in other people. Our trust has to be in God and where he's planted us and what he wants to do in that area. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. And when we do that, God will keep us. God will protect us. See, so often we're sitting there, and I'm telling you, I've had it up to here with things like the abundance of the prosperity message. You just do this enough and you'll be blessed. You know what you do enough to be blessed? You follow the Lord. Because when you follow God, he'll always bless you. Praise the Lord. But you got to be open. And I understand that there's things that we have to teach. And we have to teach people about tithing. Because if you don't know, you don't know. And there's truth in that. And I'm not saying anything about it. But if we build our ministries based on prosperity, based on money, based on all the extravagance, but we don't have God, then how are we any different than any other group? There's no truth in it. There's truth in God wants you blessed. But there's also truth in the fact that we're going to have opposition. There's also truth in the fact that we're not going to stop every opposition. But the truth also teaches us that we can get through every opposition. That there is always victory for the believer. Always victory for the one who believes. Always. That doesn't mean instantly. That doesn't mean that you won't have trial. That doesn't mean you'll never be sick. I'm going to tell you, there's people in the Bible, in the New Testament. Paul, I can't remember the guy's name. I think I can't pronounce it is really what it is. But Paul talked about it. Man, he said, we left him here because he was sick. Yeah. Do you remember Paul was the one who had the handkerchiefs come off his body? You can't ignore sickness. Epaphroditus, we knew, became sick because he did too much. What was he doing? He was going beyond. He never rested. And if you never rest, you might open the door to being sick. Yes, that is a doorway. You need to rest. The Bible tells us this. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Jeff, you don't understand. I can't rest. I got to do this. And I got, no, you don't. All you got to do is what the Word says. The Word says you got to rest. Well, I won't be able to pay my bills. You know, listen, now some people take this too far and all they do is rest. Yeah. Praise the Lord. What's that, Denny? That's right. Absolutely. Then they're not going to pay your bills. No, we have a government that says, oh, well, praise the Lord. You don't want, or they don't say praise the Lord. They say, you don't want to do anything. I like to say praise the Lord, though. You know that. You don't want to do anything. We'll pay your bills. That ain't God either. That's evil. You might not like that. You might not like that online. We got people online. I don't know if anyone's online or not. Certainly at some point they will be. Praise the Lord. But if you don't, you're not going to be blessed. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we understand God blesses the work of our hands. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Turn with me to 1 John. I told you we'd stay in the Johns. You want to know what's funny? For as bold as this message is, this wasn't nothing compared to the first one I prepared. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm just telling you the truth. I might not have a church, but you see, I did come out. I was with Reverend Greer. I mean, I wasn't was in his meetings. You know, a little bit of that does get off on you. Praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for it. I am so thankful for that connection. Amen. Amen. God even showed me things about that connection this week that just blessed me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we'll just blame Reverend Greer if it's too bold. 1 John 2:20. First John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. That word anointing also means unction. If you don't know what either of those words are, it really means like there's a leading, right? Is that's what it talks about? You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things, but only if you're in the ministry. Only if you get paid to be a pastor or a traveling whatever or whatever. No, you have an anointing.
That's right.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say this. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. If it's untrue, it's completely untrue. Amen. But you notice he says, I have not written you because you do not know the truth. Listen, if you don't know the word, you don't know the truth. And so your leading isn't going to be right.
That's right.
Because if your leading is opposite the word of God, you don't know.
Right.
So what do we do, Pastor? Well, that's when it's good to be in the company of good people.
Right.
People who endeavor for this truth. Because if you haven't gotten there yet, it's important to have someone alongside of you that knows. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I said to you before, propaganda is not truth. But I'm going to say this to you. And this is something that we see. Oh, there's some many things to unpack here in 16 minutes. Conspiracies are not truth. Never. I love conspiracies.
For the intrigue.
I'm just telling you right now, when I first heard about a president getting assassinated and that there could possibly be all these other people and not the one that they thought and all this stuff, you know, talking about JFK. Oh man, I got into it and I researched and I heard, you know what I heard though? I heard a whole bunch of, over the years, I've heard a whole bunch of people saying a whole bunch of things that are completely different and every one of them is the absolute truth based on the authorities of people that should know. We have a guy who was walking 10 feet back, or 10 people saw the whole thing. And that's different from the one who was standing over here and witnessed the whole thing. And there was someone over here who saw, I heard this and saw that and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And this is the whole truth. And then don't you know that the government, well, of course, we know you can't trust the government. If they had him killed, then of course they're not going to tell you the truth. Praise the Lord. Conspiracies. Our world is full of conspiracies. Twin Towers fall because a plane crashed into them. That we're pretty sure happened, right? We at least know a plane got there. You know, some people think that it's a government job and an inside job. Do you want to know something about all of that stuff? Not one bit of it means anything to the believer. None of it. COVID. You want to know what I think is interesting about COVID? This virus that supposedly came from China. Then they make us mask up, and I open my first box of masks that I ordered, and there is a tag in there from China. Do you know what the first thing in my heart was? Conspiracy.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. It doesn't matter what your thoughts are on it. It doesn't matter what ideas you had about it. The only thing that matters is what God says. That doesn't change this. Do you know that there's been many pandemics since Jesus walked the earth? Do you know that there has been many governments since Jesus walked the earth? Do you know that there have been many governments overthrown and new ones stepped in and evil people and destruction and this and that and wars and rumors of wars? There have been many of them since Jesus has walked the earth. But you know what doesn't matter? Any of it. Why? It's humans doing what humans do. You know what I found out about conspiracies and anything else? There's a bit of truth. Why? Because if I want you to believe something and I'm being deceitful, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put enough good in it to make you bite onto it. But then I'm going to, I have seen videos that were absolute proof. They say they won't be believing Bigfoot until they get a video. But you can't even believe the videos we get. They're never, well, not even just a Bigfoot, but like, I mean, of anything. They're like, they can show you clear videos. I could bring Bigfoot in this room. And there's still people that would not believe. There's people sitting in this room that would not believe. But none of that matters. We're going to get to heaven one day and Jesus is going to say, listen, Bigfoot didn't matter, but it was fun. Praise the Lord. Does Bigfoot, he doesn't matter if he's real or not. It's curiosity to me. I think it's interesting. But it doesn't, like, I don't base my life on whether or not he exists or he doesn't exist. And I love this. I once heard this said, and I like this. Like, I don't necessarily believe he does exist, necessarily. But it's more fun to believe that he does. Do you know what I mean? And so I just, you know, it's like, okay, if there's more of a curiosity, if there's going to be, yeah, absolutely. If there's going to be another show about it, praise the Lord, I'll watch it. But it doesn't matter. And the same thing about conspiracy theories, they don't matter because the government is not going to be changed. Listen, if all of a sudden the government just was, let's say they were just open and honest and said the thing we all know. They stood up there and said, I'm not going to go there. Praise the Lord. That was me. That wasn't God. But if they stood up there and they just decided to say something, they just said, you know what? We're lying to you. All of us are lying to you. Praise God. We're all lying to you. What would you do then?
We'd have nothing to talk about.
The news agencies would slowly close down. What is it going to change? It's not going to change anything. Do you want to know something? Protests. Christians protesting. Let me help you with this. It doesn't change anything. Do you know what happens to protesters? They're sitting outside of places. The people that are on the other side of places, they sit there and they're like, yeah, that's interesting. They watch. You know, it's funny. Glory to God. Do you know all these politicians that they don't care. They don't care that you protest. They don't care that you like them. If your faith is in those things, it's all conspiracy stuff. Conspiracies are never truth. They can have an element of truth, but they're not truth. Even the conspiracies you come up with in your own mind. You all know it because we've all had it. Yeah, you know what? I really think this. I finally started believing that the Loch Ness Monster does not exist. I still have one on my Jeep, though. Praise the Lord. But you want to know something that's interesting? God's people, yeah, Bigfoot's riding the Loch Ness Monster. God's people buy conspiracies, hook, line, and sinker. They're some of the worst, and it makes our faith. Why do you think the conspiracies come to us? Because the devil wants to make our God look foolish. Because the first thing that the world looks at, as they say, they believe in conspiracies and they believe in God. They believe in conspiracies and they believe Jesus was raised again from the dead. They believe in conspiracies and they believe this man walked on water. I guess that just proves they're crazy. Listen, it's how we live our lives that will matter to the world. When you want to change the world, you ain't going to change them by your great faith. You're not going to change somebody by walking up to them on the street and saying, you know what, I prayed in tongues for 10 hours today. Some Christians will say, I don't believe in praying in tongues at all. I happen to believe in it. I happen to believe it's important. But some Christians don't. But you're not going to change the world with that. Not by saying that. You're not going to change the world by saying, I had a vision of this. Why? Because the world's going to think you're a nut job with the rest of them. And they should. Because if you're going around telling random people about things, they aren't going to understand. And believe me, I've been there. I've done it. But if you're going to tell random people about random things that you think God's shown you in the Spirit, people are going to think you're nuts. Yeah. Well, how did Jesus do it? He didn't approach people with visions and stuff like that. He approached people with truth. Yeah. This is the word. This is what's happening. You know, the prophecy that Jesus preached to people or talked to people when he went to the woman at the well, what did he do? He saw into her life and he spoke about things that were happening in her life. He was a true prophet of God. Yeah. He looked into her life and he saw things. Yeah. I see that, Lord, but I'm not going to go there because and he's not telling me to. But I was just saw something that was truth, not about like a vision or anything like that, but you just... You know, as I preach, the Lord will show me things that have happened in my life or things that I've seen or things that I've talked to people about, and he'll remind me of those things, as he should you too, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 8 minutes. Praise the Lord. 1 John 4:18 says, I just wanted to bring this up. Praise the Lord. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So fear is not of the truth. If you fear, you have not been made perfect in love. Love is the truth. Glory to God. In fact, we're told in 1 Corinthians 13, and I almost thought I was going to go there. That was in my other slightly less happy message or slightly less nice message that was talking about love. My less nice message that was talking about love. Chew on that for a minute. But at any rate, it was, in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us that love rejoices in truth, not in iniquity. Anything other than truth is iniquity. Lies are iniquity. Sin. Amen? So there's no fear in love. So if you're in fear, that's not love either. That's not truth either. And you're going to have a hard time being led if you're being led by fear. Fear is constantly a thing in your life. You're going to have to deal with the fear. That's not for today's message, but it's just to let you know that there's something there. 1 Timothy 6:3-5. Praise the Lord. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, that means the doctrine that lines up with godliness, the doctrine that the disciples taught, that the apostles taught, that Jesus taught, the one that is the scriptural, right? He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words. Disputes and arguments over words. Listen, you may just be looking at somebody else thinking, oh yeah, they're preaching something that's wrong. And so, see, that's judging someone else. Yeah. But this is talking about looking at wholesome words, right? Wholesome things, right? He is proud, knowing nothing about it. If you're obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, look what it says. Comes envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions. You can even get to, like, listen, I'm just going to tell you the truth. You come to this church or any other church, at some point you need to decide if you're supposed to be there because you got to stop with the evil suspicions. Right. If you think I'm always after something from you, then you're in trouble. Yeah. I'm not saying don't prove it out first. Right. I didn't tell you to be here. You choose on whether or not you're supposed to come here. Right. I'm not chasing people down to make them come here, and I'm not going to chase people down to make them stay. Right. Plain and simple. I'm going to preach the word. And if everybody disappears, I just move somewhere else. That's all there is to it. Or I do something else. That's all there is to it. I've literally made my, I'm going to do what I'm led to do. And if that's not good enough for the world, well, praise God for it. I'll just continue doing what I'm going to do. I'm going to endeavor to be led by God. I'll never stop being led by God. But if people don't like it, they don't like it. I want you here. Don't get me wrong. Praise the Lord. But I don't want somebody always disputing, always causing trouble, always striving, always evil suspicions, always thinking that everything. No, listen, if you trust God, see, this is why the Bible says to trust God. Where did the Bible say trust man? Anyone know? Show me that scripture. Don't raise your hand because I'm telling you right now, it's not in there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It never says to put your trust in man. It's over and over and over again, trust God. Do you know what faith is? The very foundation of faith. I wrote this down this morning. The just shall live by faith does not mean that they throw all caution to the wind and step out blindly in everything. Faith is trust in God. I trust in God that as I move forward with God, as I move forward, God will lead me. And if I follow that leading, I will always prevail. That's what faith is. Faith is not throwing all caution to the wind and saying, oh, this is faith. Let's skip around the room. Praise the Lord. That's not faith. It's not faith. Faith is when you know something and you follow it. If you know truth and you reject truth, praise the Lord. Do you know what's truth? The truth is a virus that is causing a lot of sickness. That's truth. You don't have to like that, but I got proof to it. I can take you to houses of people and let you meet them closely if you want. Yeah, I mean people who are sick. It's truth. Don't like, you don't have to agree. Don't agree. It's truth. I don't care. It doesn't change the fact that it's truth. And so if it's truth, we can't just look at it and say it don't exist or it ain't nothing. That's stupidity. Yeah. Praise God. I had a drink. Yeah, it's no different than playing with snakes. I got a church on my Google Maps, you know, like a curiosity things. On my Google Maps, I told you about that. If there's a rock that some Indian chief sat on somewhere, I want to go see it, right? And so we actually tried to go to a place that I found. I ain't going to tell you the story, but it's pretty amazing how we didn't get there really, but we got there. Amen. We got most of the way there. Broke the Jeep getting there, but we got there. Praise the Lord. But we got down there, but there's a place I have a snake handling church. Oh, yes. I got it marked on my Google Maps. I know right where it is. We're not going there. Praise the Lord. Do you know what's interesting about the snake handling church? One of the people that handled the snakes, one of the pastors, the former pastor, I say former pastor, he was handling the snakes. Snake handling church, poisonous snakes. He was handling former pastor. Come on, guys, do it. Come on. So, yeah, there we go. Praise the Lord. It bit him. And it killed him. That's not fair. What good is that pastor doing to the body of Christ? Do you know we're only here to advance the kingdom? So if you die because you got bit by a snake, what good is that going to do God? He's in heaven right now going, man, I missed it. No, I'm just kidding. He isn't doing that. But, you know, he probably learned that. Men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth who suppose that godliness is a means from gain. For is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourselves. Verse 6. Did we have more to say? Or was that it? Oh, that was where we were ending. Yeah. And this was this is where I got here. Those words, destitute of truth. Yeah. These are people who are destitute of the truth. People who receive lies, who embrace these things, love them, and are controlled by them. Yeah. Destitute of the truth. They're without the truth. They reject the truth. There's lots of people out there that reject the truth. The word is truth. Praise the Lord. We're going to make it. I said his word is truth. John 17:17. John 17:17. These are the words of Jesus. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word sanctify literally means free from the guilt of sin. Sanctify them by truth. Folks, if you know, I was talking to my wife about this week. You know, Shadrach, we have this account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Bible in the Old Testament, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and the Bible tells us that when they looked in, there was one that walked among them, and it was the Son of God, like the Son of God, and a lot of people think it was Jesus in there with them, and I don't know for sure, I'm not smart enough to know for sure whether or not it was Jesus, but all I know this is when they came out, the Bible tells us they were so much not burned that they didn't even have the smell of smoke on their clothes, even though they were in the midst of the fire, the Lord delivered them. But how many know that you don't douse yourselves with gasoline and light yourself on fire to test your faith?
That's right.
Right? That's right. What is that? Those men were not put in there willingly. What do we know? Fire typically burns.
Right.
So if you're going to sit there and say, I'm going to have faith, so I'm going to grab onto this fire. What is that? It's called dumb.
Yeah.
It's called you're going to get burned. First, second degree, third degree. I don't know. You're going to get burned.
Yeah.
What happens if you step out of a boat? Anybody, I can tell you, anybody in here today, I'm prophetic, prophesying. Say, prophesy, brother. Someone say it. Thank you. Prophesy, brother. Go out on the lake today, and if you go out on a boat, Jack, this is what it is, Jack, take people on your boat. I want people to step off the boat, and all those people will not float. He's not going to let them. Every one of them, Jack, don't want you on his boat. Every one of them are going to sink. Every one of them are going to sink. Prophesying. That's truth. It's truth. Think about what the devil tried to, again, with Jesus. Cast yourself off this mountain. Because God will send his angels to uplift you, to uphold you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. My God, how many proofs do we need in the Word to see this? Listen, faith, Jesus was a man of faith. He went about healing. He raised people from the dead. But he didn't look at everyone and say, you just go do whatever the heck you want to do and you will be fine. You cannot be led into things. Now listen, if God, does that mean God will never lead you into things that couldn't potentially harm you? Sure, he could. But when you know the leading of God, when you actually know it and you actually follow it, guess what will happen? There will be proof. It will prove itself out. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus wasn't a newborn babe stepping out of the boat onto the water and walking on the water. He didn't walk up to somebody without knowing God. He didn't walk up to somebody with any shred of doubt in him that was dead and say, Lazarus, rise from the tomb. He knew because he was with God. See, so often we're trying to practice the faith that these people actually have. We're not doing anything by our practice. Praise the Lord. You can't practice the faith. You have to build the faith. And how do you build it? You build it by the Word. Seeing the same thing with healing. You want to know why most people don't get healed? Because most people don't know the Word enough. Most Christians don't know the Word enough to have healing activated in their body. I say this all the time. If you're dealing with a situation, I'm guilty of this too. If you're dealing with a situation in your body or otherwise or in anything else, you should have so much word in you about that subject that nobody could even preach to you something else.
Yeah.
If that were the case, you would be set free. Praise the Lord. That's exactly the way Jesus was. He always responded with the Word. He always used the Word. He didn't just step out and do goofy things because he was led to do them. And I'm just telling you the truth. I've had this conversation with another pastor. He said, honestly, Pastor Jeff, he said, all the people that ever come to you and say that you're led, they're led. How many of them do you suppose are really led? And the answer to that is barely any. Barely any. I'm led into this. I'm led into that. But it doesn't have any fruit in it. There's no truth in it. Amen? God is merciful. We are only right through truth. How do we're to be sanctified is to be right, made right. We're only sanctified through truth, not through denial. Oh, but folks, this is going to be a good one. Not in white lies, not deceiving ourselves or others. One of the Christian things, and I might even get in trouble for this saying this by somebody, I don't know if I will or not, it's not a thing, I don't really care. But if somebody's sick, they'll have to say, and I've done this too, say, well, I've got symptoms in my body. If you're sick, you're sick.
Yeah.
You know, you don't come with your symptoms and make everybody else sick.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, we have to use our heads here too. God didn't say, you know, become a Christian, then become an idiot. He said, become a Christian, become more smarter. Become intelligenter. becoming increasingly intelligent or in your ways and paths. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's not denial. We don't deny that things are actually happening. You know, I mean, I'm just so over this. Praise the Lord, because it's like people look at you and they say, well, you can't be of faith if you think this way or say this. That's not true. God is healer. I believe with all my heart that God is healer. You can't tell me by looking at this word that God is anything but healer. Glory to God. But listen, we have to come to God. We have to get there. And we get there through the truth. We're sanctified through the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not through denial, not in white lies, not in deceiving ourselves or others. Those are some words that you all should write down and look at later on and bring up every single time that you look at the word, you judge yourself. I'm not saying, and again, this is not to go look at anyone else and say, you're not doing this. Because if you're doing that, you're automatically wrong. God has never told you to be Lord over anyone else's lives, but He has told us to do stuff in our own lives. And I found this, that most of the time people who point the finger, I've been taught this and I believe with all my heart, most of the time the people who point the finger, there's something also wrong in their own lives that causes them to do so. And I know that partially because I've been a person that has been in that place. Yeah. A fence has come in and I've allowed fence to turn into something it shouldn't be. And then I've started pointing my fingers at other people. We're going to close with John 10, 14. Praise Jesus. John 10, 14. I'll let you turn there because this is a real good word. John 10, 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. If you are truly God's, you know Him and He knows you. And if you don't know what that is, then praise God, you better find out. Because a relationship with God, I'm telling you, God has given us methods of getting there, but a relationship with God at some point separates you from all other men and becomes between you and Him. A true relationship with God, at some point, like there's a lot of religions that teach you have a religion, you have a relationship with God through the church or through this. That's not the truth. Our relationship to God is between us and Him. And at some point, every man is, man meaning man, mankind, all of mankind is going to have to make that they're going to have to stand before the Lord and answer for those things. We're led in truth, by truth. This is why we are a church that preaches the word. If we receive the word, then we can receive help. But if we reject the word, we will reject our help. Amen? Amen.